I'd like to ask Henry if he will come forwards, and he is going to bring our scripture reading to us this morning.
Our scripture reading is found in Genesis chapter 27, verse 14 to 17. So Jacob went out and got two goats and brought them to his mother. Then she cooked them in the special way Isaac enjoyed. She took the best clothes of her older son, Esau, that were in the house. She put them on the youngest son, Jacob. She took the skins of the goat and put them on Jacob's hands and neck. Then she gave Jacob the tasty food and bread that she had made.
Thank you, Henry.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. I trust you are doing well. I can see on your faces you are very happy, displaying the happiness so loudly. This is a nice, occasion to be here, and the sun is almost out. I hoped it will be sunny. I came from a country where the sun is always there, almost always. It's from my country of origin, which is the same country that His Majesty owns a property. Can you guess one? Which country is that one? Or you may say he owns many properties all around the world, right? No, it's Romania, yes. He was recently there. Okay, so we didn't travel together, by the way, no, it was separate ways, yeah. Let me give you a bit of warning or disclaimer. I'm still struggling with this language, okay? Not mine, yours, all right? So it's a nice language, very nice language because of the French, but I'm still struggling with it because you don't have quite fixed rules, in terms of how to pronounce certain words or how to place that accent. So I have the privilege to be pastor for four Romanian churches, but the fifth one was an English-speaking one, Harrow Church, if you know Harrow Church, all right? So very welcoming church, and they taught me by not saying anything while I was preaching, I did many mistakes. They won't say a thing, don't correct me, I don't know why you're doing this. You're killing us, not saying a word, So I was telling this nice, well-known parable of the shepherd, with 100 sheep. Yeah, and I kept going, that shepherd with that sheep, and one of them put on his shoulder. Imagine how strong was that. Because no one told me that it is a difference between sheep and sheep. But now I know because I live on Sheepcot Lane, on Watford, and I always been careful to say Sheepcot even more than it's, just to be sure that I not say Sheepcot Lane, but Sheepcot Lane. So yes, my brain is fighting back because for my brain, English is like those immigrants that are coming, take over the country, and my brain is fighting back the English language. So from time to time, when I preach, I might say some words in Romanian. Don't worry, don't be afraid. I don't have the gift of tongues yet. It's just my brain. So I make mistakes. It's not me. It's my brain. All right. I'm trying to be brief because that's the beauty of speaking in another language. In my origin language, I speak faster and longer, whereas in English, shorter and slower. So if you are paying attention, by 12 I'll be done, you see? All right, I have a very interesting story because it's not mine, it's the biblical one. It's something that will help us to understand what's our, let's say, role in this world, all right? These are these big questions like, do we have a purpose? And, you know, we have many purposes in this life. Or if there is a purpose in our life, you know, the sum of it. And maybe for some just to survive, you know, or others to thrive in this life. But there is another question that we as a Christians or Seventh-day Adventists, we are asked to put the question, do we have a mission? And it's a good one because what's the mission? And I would like to develop a little bit about this mission, our mission as believers and our mission as a whole, as a church. But the most important question of all is the where is God in all of this, okay? Because we may have purpose or purposes in our lives. We may have a mission even, but where is God in all of this? So let's take a look on into a Bible narrative that could answer those questions, and especially this one, the hard one, the big one, where is God in all of this? Because probably as you, as myself, you ask yourself, where is God in my life, okay? I would like to see him properly, not just you know, a feeling that today I'm feeling God is with me, tomorrow he's not. Like a very constant presence and leading in my life. So I have this, you know, the well-known story of Joseph, you know, the story that inspired the German novelist Thomas Mann to write a four-part novel called Joseph and His Brothers in 1933. It took him 16 years to complete these four volumes. And it's based on these 12 chapters from Genesis, Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. But as for, you know, Thomas Mann, he wrote 1,536 pages, whereas in Genesis, the Joseph's life, the whole his life, is condensed in 12 chapters only. And that's the beauty of the Bible, you see, because everything is condensed, its essence here. And when I read that story, you see so many, you know, developments on different levels. And then you can resonate with some of them, with others maybe not. But there is something which is challenging us on and on when we read this story. What I've discovered so far is that I can identify in Joseph's life 5 stages. And every one of these stages is introduced by an event and a quote. This is quite interesting because I don't know why, but the author of the book of the Genesis felt to structure this narrative by these events and a quote. And the quote, actually, it's a very powerful symbol in the Bible, right? Only in Genesis, we have the quote as 24 times. But you know, out of 24 times the quote is mentioned in Genesis, 20 of them related with Joseph. You see? So it's something is here. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Because we must be familiar how the Bible authors wrote the text. Not just the message is important for that was important, but the structure, the literary structure as well. Even the literary structure could be a message in itself, you know, because you may notice some words that are coming again or displayed in different areas and so on. So, for every stage, let's say, the code is acting like a key to open that stage. And we can imagine our lives like a series of stages. And after we may read again this story, with this, let's say, lenses, we have another look of our own lives and see how my life was structured so far. Are there any stages or just one and that's it? Well, depending on, you'll see, our assessment will be heavily influenced by our, own ideas, education, background, religious experience, and so on. But let's go with the first one. Genesis 37, verse 3. And I'm not going to read it because you know it, and if you want to display it on the screen, it's even better for the participants. But the first one is the so-called the coat of many colors. You are familiar from early stages. I wasn't growing in an Adventist home, or so I don't know how the early stages is developed for a kid. But I heard, that and in case of my son, we provided him with illustrations and everything else to understand these beautiful examples. The coat of many colors. Now, Joseph at this stage, I identify Joseph as a spoiled teenager. And there's nothing wrong about that, because we parents, we tend, or some of us tend to spoil them. I remember I was growing up in a communist country with lack of resources and everything. My toys, very strange world for me, toys. I don't have many toys, just few. When I was in the position to provide my son with toys, I was like crazy, tons. I don't know, because I was trying to, exactly what I missed in my childhood. I don't know. But believe me, it wasn't a good move. Because he developed this sense of entitlement, a bad move, but that was all I knew, So he was a spoiled teenager with big dreams. Two of them, the dreams. He will become one day the most important person in his family. And it's interesting that the first dream did fulfill, the first one, when his brothers bow literally to Joseph. But the second dream never accomplished. You remember the second dream, right? The second dream was involved his father and his mother in the symbols of sun and moon. But you know that when finally Joseph met his father, he bowed him to his father, and his mother was no longer alive. But the dream was there, And some dreams are realistic, and they could fulfill. Others, no, just imaginary. But it's good to dream. Even some of them won't fulfill never. But it's good to dream. Otherwise, what was the prospect for Joseph, honestly? To be another shepherd man. Is that wrong? No. But if I feel that I could do other things, for me being most important things, then I should go and pursue those dreams, right? But he's the favorite one, Joseph. He's the favorite one. And his father, because he loves him so much, gifted him with a coat, a very fancy coat from Harrods, probably. Very fancy and expensive coat. Are you familiar with this well-known gospel singer, Dolly Parton? She wrote and sang this, is still singing this song, The Coat of Many Colors. But in that song, she said about her poverty, how her mother tried to fix a coat for her daughter from different rags and so on. But she was proud, Whereas on Joseph's life, now this is the symbol of plenty, for entitlement, from if we can even so, luxury. The different attitude here in Joseph's narrative. But he was wearing this coat like a celebrity, like an actor, like those influencers, you know them, influencers on Instagram. They displaying the, you know, fancy coats or shoes or cars and so on. Like a VIP, you know. He wasn't a VIP. He would be one day, but he was not prepared for that stage yet. But he was, you know, as a teenager. And I'm asking myself, was his fault necessarily? No, I don't think so. He was a teenager. He was, you know, full of energy but confused as well. So this stage will finally come to an end abruptly with that coat of many colors stained with blood. You know what happened. I'm not going to go into details. Joseph is sold in slavery, right? Suddenly the spoiled teenager starts to contemplate a new dynamic perspective. Now it's a new condition, right? What about his dreams? Where are they now? Now he is bowing down to his new masters. And slavery is an awful condition because it robs you of your liberty and your dignity. However, this is quite interesting, for the first time God is mentioned. God wasn't mentioned before when he got that fancy coat. But now he is mentioned in verse 2. But God was with Joseph there, which is quite interesting. Because sometimes when we are in times of, you know, plenitude and, you know, everything is going well, we might not sense his presence. But we're in a time of adversity, you know, when we are pressed by in every way. Sometimes this is where God is coming, or when we start to sense his presence. But, you know, this is the good part, although it's not an ideal condition, because Joseph become more mature now. He works, right? Now he's a teenager who is working now, right? And he's quite successful, developed new abilities. And the symbol for this stage is another. I would call it the cloak of a slave. It's a different one, but it's the new stage. In contrast with the former coat of many colors. But, you know, he is a slave, but it's a sign to work for a very influential family, Pharaoh's captain of the guard. And he is blessed, and he is successful, and he become even the manager of that household. So, given the circumstances, we can say that Joseph is doing well, right? He is doing well. God was very present, and that house was blessed because Joseph was there, and God used Joseph to bless that house. But, you know, there is no happy ending to this stage, because, you know, the story, Mrs. Potiphar become obsessed with this young man, and she accused him of an imaginary rape and so on. And suddenly, he will discard this cloak of a slave. And now he will get on a new stage, in the prison stage. It's interesting because himself, he's discarding the cloak of a slave, but not his character. He will stay vertical. He won't compromise. He know the truth. Doesn't make sense to do something awful like this. And you know what his motivation is? Interesting. I cannot do such an evil to my master. Your husband, by the way. I cannot do that. How can you have such respect for someone who is your master, right? He's not your friend. He's not your father. It's your master. And you're a slave. But you can sense here the beauty of Joseph's character, how he is developing step by step, because he is guided by God. right? Now, Joseph is sent to prison to an imaginary crime he did not commit, and his dreams are shattered, nothing on horizon. When I'm gonna, maybe he even forgot those dreams, you know? Because when you are under such a dire situation, condition, you forgot everything that you imagined before. And the next one, because he's in the prison, he paid the price for his innocence and righteousness. And if you think that these virtues are appreciated, think again, even in our world. Maybe they are laudated in different circumstances, but they are not welcomed. And Joseph is thrown in prison for doing what was right. And we know from many examples of good people who ended in prison because they do something good. Or maybe he didn't what they are accused of. And the first thought when you are in prison, because now you are like a double slave, right? Where is God in all of this? I did the right thing, right? I stayed faithful to what God is telling me to do. And for this, I'm ending now in prison. Where is God in all of this? Why he tolerate? And the question is the burning one, because it's a puzzle. We can't understand what's going on and why it's happening. But he's doing everything what he can do in that condition, new condition. And he's very appreciated. And the question is, when you have such a good, talented man, you know, efficient one, would you like to set him free? When he is doing so good for your business, right? No, you won't let him free. He will stay there as long as you want. Because this is the core trait of exploitation. The profit, to maximize the profit. At some point, there are some opportunities, and this is the symbol for this new stage is they call it the jacket of the inmate. All right? So there's a new stage, there's a new coat, the jacket of the inmate. You are a double slave, you are deprived of everything. However, even in this dire situation, Joseph did not give up hope. That's the most important thing. He developed now a new ability, which was what? To interpret the dreams. He never had this ability. He was not aware of having this ability. It was a God-given ability, but only now he needs that one, not before. And he's doing quite well using this gift. But God intervenes, we say again. And Joseph will leave behind the inmate coat and goes straight to Pharaoh to get what? The robe of a leader. You know what happened with Joseph in this. We may say this is the last stage, by the way, because that's it, the happy end. Hollywood-style films, you know, happy end, that's it. Which is not actually, which is quite interesting, because there is time for everything the Bible say. Our life follow a series of stages. An idea at every stage we must learn something new and unlearn something which is not useful. This is what Joseph did in all these stages, learn and unlearn. And the previous stage become a building block for the next stage. You cannot skip stages. When I was a teenager, an early teen, right? You know what I was dreaming about? To become suddenly mature, a grown-up man. I don't know why. Well, there are some reasons. I'm not going to disclose those reasons right now. But I was willing to skip some stages, which is not helpful, really. Every stage must be completed. And you're gonna get a signal when you are supposed to get to the next one. But know what? Sometimes it was happening. You might feel tempted to stay in that stage. It's a good stage. It's a nice one. Everything is going well. And you don't want to enter the new one. You know Moses? He was so acquainted with that stage. He has a family now. He's a like a business with ships and ships, right? Not ships. Ships, all right? And everything was doing well for 40 years. And now God said, hello, that stage is now past. You are going to enter the new stage. But I'm 80 years old. It doesn't matter for me. You're going to start a new stage, the most important stage of your life. So if you say, well, I'm 80 or 19, whatever, that's it, the last stage. No, it's not the last stage. Even when we are close to the, you know, the inevitable, to death, the life itself is a stage for the next one, the eternal life, right? So now Joseph enters the next phase in Pharaoh's house. It is quite amazing, and the Bible mentions this. The Pharaoh see in Joseph what all others missed to see, God. The Pharaoh can sense God in Joseph. It's unbelievable, right? And the symbol for this stage, Joseph received a new robe, the most expensive one, really. Not the coat of many colors. No, this is the only one. The special coat is for VIP only. Now, because he has a real status now. He was like, you know, let's say update this, like a PM, prime minister in that country. And this position, it was meant for him. That was the whole idea. There was those dreams all about. Everything in his life was preparing him for getting to this position. And it was God who guided Joseph all his life. Why was Joseph elevated to this high position? You know why? Because through Joseph, God would save his family and all the Egypt land. This is the reason. To serve. A true leader is a servant. Actually, even in the recent study of leadership, there is a tendency to speak about the servant leadership. Not about religious setting. In corporation as well. Corporate world. Servant leadership. Because this is the true definition of the leader, to be a servant. But now you will say, that's it. God saved his family, his new people, adopting people, and so on. But no, the last stage, I would say, is most interesting one. You know what was Joseph's mission for the beginning? From the beginning, I am looking for my brothers. That was his mission, where he was sent by his father. And the mission was about to fail when he got lost. And you may remember from that story that someone, a stranger, came and, you know, gave him new directions, and he followed those directions, and this is how he ended up actually in his brother's hands and then in Egypt. But, you know, because of that stranger, Joseph met his brothers, but that meeting resulted in a catastrophe for Joseph. He was sold as a slave, and he was forced to leave the coat of many colors and wear a couple of different coats, right? And he thought that the first coat was the most important one and should cling to that coat as long as possible. But that coat, the first one, wasn't the most important coat at all. But now, Joseph have the most important coat to be now at his elevated position. Everything was going well, success, prosperity, influence, family. But something deep down was still bothering him. What do you think it was? Something wasn't quite right. his brothers. They sold him. Yeah, it's fine now. I'm fine. What about my all my trauma? Everything that I went through. Should I seek revenge? Should I, you know, punish these brothers of mine? You know, when you had a trauma, unfortunately, that will follow you your whole life. And at some point, you may have seen or you may feel or sense that something is not right. But you cannot pinpoint where is the problem. And yeah, we'll go to a psychologist. He will help us or she. Sometimes if the situation is that bad, you may or we may end discussing with a psychiatrist as well, providing us some pills or, you know, whatever. Because there is something there. And in Joseph's case, his brothers, that relation, that fractured relation. And now when he's at the pinnacle of his life and experience, something happens. His brothers are coming to him. Who had guessed that? What was his reaction? In that position, it was easy for him to release the vengeance, the everything that he had in his heart against them. You know, he wasn't that, but the way he behaved toward his brothers, if you are reading carefully the text, you may see that he wasn't that nice with them. Who had been really, I mean, I supposed to be nice with the ones who sold me in slavery? What do you think? Well, depending on the where we are you at this spectrum, because if you are following, we are following Jesus, it's a hard one. Because he's saying, you must love them. Really? These guys, these thugs, how should I love them? It's a high bar, you know, it's, honestly, it's almost to reach that bar. But, you know, even so, he's not seeking revenge, Joseph, no. It took a while until Joseph finally found his brothers. You know what I mean? That was his mission. I'm looking for my brothers. But finally, he met them when he was ready for that meeting. And they were ready as well. Do you have an explanation why he cried out loud for such a long time? Because of the deep buried trauma. And now the healing process started already. And he was able to welcome them, you know, and to treat them as a brother, not as a foe. And that was God working as well. It's impossible by ourselves to display such an attitude toward those who were our enemies or whatever they did to us. You know what the symbol for this stage is? He provided them with garments. That's the symbol. I'm healed now. Now I'm going to give you coats and garments and everything. Because now I am healed. He forgave them and accepted them wholly. And even when their father passed away, you know, they were afraid that Joseph now, because the father is no longer with them, he will seek revenge. And he said, no, I'm going to take good care of you until my very last days. And he did, really. So, yeah, this is, in a nutshell, the story of Joseph. Well, 10 minutes after I proposed I suggest I will finish, but you get the idea. The point is that these stages could be like a model to our own life. Like a structure. We don't know sometimes at what stage are we in. But let's not forget that it's not the last one. And God will give us, let's say, signs, let's say, to understand now this stage is coming to an end. The next one is starting. Be prepared. I am with you. And that's the core of the whole narrative. God was with Joseph all the way, all along. Although he wasn't aware most of the time, but God was there because he's faithful. And it doesn't matter if you are the Pharaoh's palace or in a dungeon, God is there with you because he promised, I will be with you until the very day, last days. May God bless all of us. Amen.